Farming News and Views, brought to you in association with the Farming Independent. First with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, later on in this programme, we'll be looking at the opening of the new round of GLOSS, and that's going to affect something in the region of 13,000 farmers, places being made available, and it's expected most of them will be taken up. But first of all, I'm going to look at the pig sector, and during the week, Chagas held the National Pig Conference, and it was down in Cavan. And joining me on the line to reflect on matters there is Pat O'Flaherty, the IFA's National Pig Committee Chairman. No doubt a number of interesting things emerged. Probably one of the most was an outline of a draft strategy programme for pig development over the next few years. And the head of Chagas Pig Development Department, Kieran Carroll, was to the fore in bringing forward this strategy programme.
He was indeed. He went through the entire document there, and basically, I suppose, much of the emphasis was on education. And I suppose for a number of years now, we've been in the IFA, we've been looking for a management course for pig managers, because it's quite a number of years since we had one, and we think that our business basically needs a strong educational background, and we need guys with a strong technical background in management. We have got good guys and excellent guys all through the industry, but it's just to give new people coming in a very strong background in management. And I think it's something similar to the dairy course that they're setting up, and we hope to have that set up by Chagas in the next few months.
Now, Chagas, of course, has been doing so much in terms of research down at Moor Park, and this conference now, I suppose, it provides food for thought as well, and no doubt Chagas is interested to hear the feedback from personnel on the ground.
Absolutely. Because of the joint programme which we set up a couple of years back, we're now in a position where Chagas are able to take on new members of staff. There was an embargo from the government on them taking on staff until the joint venture was set in place, and that money that we're paying into Chagas has enabled them to take on extra advisory staff and also extra research staff, and that's essential to the survival of the industry, because what's happening more and more, Chris, is that we're getting put under pressure price-wise. We're trying to become more and more efficient, and it's putting us price-wise under more and more pressure all the time. And it's a difficult, very difficult environment.
We hear a lot about value added to various produce coming out of the farm gate. In terms of the pig sector, what's coming down the road there? Is there still a lot of scope for additional output and on the processing side?
Yes, I think so. I think there's always room to improve, Chris. Any industry will tell you that. We're constantly seeking better ways to do things. Better techniques. In fact, one of the talks day before yesterday was at the one in Cavan, was on alternative raw materials, ingredients that we can use in the rations and different things to try and keep our costs of production down and keep the industry in going and in business.
Ireland, the food island, great reputation. Our products are known all around the world. In terms of specialising and maybe getting a premium price, what avenues are open there in the pig sector?
I suppose there's one area that's very, very important there at the moment. That's the Origin Green, which has been run by Bord Bia. It covers all sectors, but it's also very important in the pig sector. And it's an area where they're trying to show that not alone can we expand and try and increase, but also we can do that. We're trying to do that, show that we're doing it in a very sustainable way. In other words, we're not harming the environment, and we're not using up valuable resources, but we're constantly improving and bettering ourselves through genetic costs and management and improving our efficiencies all the time.
For a lot of housewives and house husbands going into the supermarket, a great array of bacon is always on offer there. And we've seen a shift in recent years to sort of going back to the traditional and the dry cured, and this maybe slightly pricier, but it's a far better product as well.
Absolutely.
That's quite a change, isn't it?
You're quite right, Chris. What's happened is that some companies went down the route of adding more and more water into the bacon, and those people complaining when they're putting the rashers onto the pan, they shriveled up. Loads of water came out and you had to pour off the water, and then you had to try and refry them again, add oil and refry them again. And there's all kinds of problems about the bacon and rashers containing too much water. And I think that's the idea of the dry cure. The dry cure is there's no added water, and it does exactly what it says on the tin. It's just a dry cure, no added water, it's just salt, and it's a fantastic product.
In a number of sectors, we have local producer groups. Is that happening in the pig sector?
Not so much. We don't see it too much. You know, you're talking about, I suppose, things like Connemara lamb. There's one that springs to mind that have done something along them type of lines. And I think that's the area probably that needs a bit more work going forward. It's definitely an option, and it's something that should be followed up on, I think.
Now, looking at the recent budget, the general consensus was everybody's getting a little bit out of it. Was there anything in particular for it for the pigman?
The pigman, we seem to be the forgotten species all the time, Chris. Regardless of whether they're, as you know, we don't get any single farm payments, and we seem to be left out in the cold most of the time. So probably very little in it, to be honest, in terms of pig farming. But I suppose the only thing was the credit for self-employed people. I suppose that was really the only positive that I saw in it. Anyway.
And the outlook for the months ahead, I mean, the pressure on prices of late, can we see things improving?
Yeah, no. Last week, in fact, we saw prices decrease further. And that's the fourth consecutive price decrease for us. We're 17 cents a kilo less than we were last year. Very, very difficult for us to survive in those type of conditions, and I can't see how people can survive it long term.
Just back to the IFA's input into research, and when the IFA makes proposals and Teagasc looks at things as well, it's good to see that Teagasc has appointed Emer McCrum now as a new specialist pig development officer, and she's going to be based down in Ballyhays in County Cavan, so that augurs well for the sector.
I welcome Emer, and I think she's an excellent candidate, and I do congratulate her, and she'll be an excellent addition to the Teagasc staff. It's badly needed in the Teagasc area. Seamus Clark had given many, many years of excellent service, and he retired, and he's been replaced now, and that's excellent news. And we wish Seamus every congratulations in his retirement.
Now, you touched on alternative feed ingredients, and there's always the pressure on there to reduce the inputs and the cost. Is there much scope there?
Very limited, Chris. They talk in broad terms about different things, but in actual fact, what happens here, most of our raw materials are wheat, are homegrown, are wheat and barley. Most of the grain grown in Ireland is used by either pig or poultry. And that's just a fact of life.
And finally, in terms of the numbers of farmers involved in the sector, looking ahead, are we going to see more consolidation and fewer numbers?
I'm afraid that may be the case. It's the case. It seems to be the case in farming all around lately, and most definitely it's happening very rapidly.
Pat O'Flaherty, IFA National Pig Committee Chairman. Well, a new round of Gloss is on the way. I've been speaking with Peter Young, a financial specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. Peter, well, there's been a strong early interest in the new round of Gloss that has opened this week. We're talking about something in the region of 13,000 places being made available.
Yes, and this is an increase from 10,000, which were initially pointed at when the minister first talked about it around the ploughing time. So, I mean, it is an increase. I mean, we've had the budget last week where the finances have been put in place, $142 million for GLAS to allow up to 40,000 people. So it means 13,000 can come in this tranche.
But there is a time constraint here. We're talking about the scheme only open for 6 weeks.
Yes, and I mean, it's actually not opened yet. I mean, they're hoping to open the online next week that they can start submitting applications. But it's a very tight window, and one of the reasons for that is that all farmers have to be notified of their acceptance by the end of January so that they can get paid for full 2016. So there is a timeline from the EU Commission on when the department has it. So that's why the tight window of 6 weeks is there.
Mm. And that will, I suppose, put some advisors under quite a bit of pressure.
Yes, especially when you look at last time, 27,000 farmers went in last time. It was well above expectation for many advisors. So what they'll see now, I mean, a lot of farmers, they've looked at the scheme. A lot of them, particularly, you know, in Donegal and in the marginal areas, have said this could be an option for them to increase. I mean, you can get up to €5,000 in the scheme. So a lot more farmers definitely are interested in it.
And the average payment, we're talking about, what, €4,500, something of that?
Yes, I mean, they haven't come back officially, the department, but roughly around €4,500 is the average of people who went in last time around. Now, they have made some changes to criteria, which might make it more difficult for farmers to get up to that level of money. But, I mean, farmers will have to look at it for their own specific farm, for their own specific case.
So for those who are interested, the word is to move fairly quickly.
Yes, I mean, men contact your advisor, I suppose, is first, because the advisor has to put it in. I mean, within that, I mean, it depends on where you're farming, and there's different tiers. Tier one is commonage farmers, and and other farmers in with bird habitat and different issues like that. So it's important to talk to your advisor, see if it's right for you.
And many people feel it's still a long way short of some of the previous REPS programs. But that said, things are beginning to go in the right direction.
Very much. And I mean, yes, I mean, it's definitely not a REPS. It's not a complete farm. It is a targeted measure. Farmers have to pick what measures they get, and they get a payment per measure. So that's why you have to look closely at, does it suit your farm, and how can you actually get enough money to justify you going into it?
Peter Young there. Just before we go, a couple of other items of news of note. Weanling sales are very much at peak activity at the moment, with many market managers reporting a sharp rise in entries over the last 10 days or so. The trade is holding steady, although some market managers report a slight easing in average prices, due partly to a greater volume of sales and also to a higher percentage of plainer quality animals coming on stream. Meanwhile, more than 100,000 farmers received over €620 million in basic payment scheme payments during this past week. This sum represents the 70% advance in farmers' basic payment schemes. Farmers will receive 27% in December, with 3% following in spring. An additional 3,000 farmers were also given ANC payments, bringing the total now paid out to €162 million. To 76,365 farmers. The main issues delaying payments are overclaims, dual claims, and incomplete forms coming from the farmers. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €3.90 to €3.95 a kilo, heffers €4.05 a kilo, bulls R grade €4.10 a kilo, U grade €4.15 a kilo, and cows O grade €3.40 a kilo, R grade €3.70 a kilo. Sheep prices: sheep lamb €4.70 a kilo to 22 kilos, and ewes €2.70 a kilo. Well, that's just about it for this edition of Farming News and Views. From me, Chris Ashmore, many thanks for listening. Until next week, have a very good evening.
Farming News and Views, brought to you in association with the Farming Independent. First with the Farming News and Views every Tuesday.